is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassion that fails us not. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank God for my mother-in-law being so faithful and so willing to sing that song. I look to you. I asked her last week if she could sing it for this Sunday. While she was singing that song, I did not know how meaningful and so impactful that song hits home to me. Not only is it befitting for the message for this morning, but for me personally. And my heart is heavy this morning. And, first of all, I just once again want to thank God for all that He is doing, and all that He is to me. The reason why I say that my heart is here this morning is because I come back to New Hope Fellowship, and I am reminded of my friend Jamie Garcia, who is no longer with us. And then I find out that Sister Jones is no longer with us. And then on yesterday, coming here from Georgia, I find out that one of my dear friends, mentor in the ministry, somebody who has guided me, and I talk about him quite a bit, my friend, Reverend Joseph Dyson, is no longer here. Heaven. So I pray for God's strength on this day. God gives me the strength needed to make it through. I thank God for who He is, but I also thank God for the assignment and the opportunity that He has given me on this day. And I want you to know that it's not about me, but it's about Him. I thank God for Pastor Hedro for calling me up and having faith in me to stand behind his sacred desk and to preach the new evangelium, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, Reverend Rhea, everybody is not privileged to stand behind this sacred pulpit. So, Dr. Edo, I thank you so much for having faith and trusting me to just step in a gap just for these brief moments. Then we thank God for Sister Sarita, Reverend Sarita Edo as well, who God has put on the right side of Pastor Edo. We thank God for both of them, two jewels, not only at New Hope Fellowship, but also in the community. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, amen. And I say that respectfully because of all of the tragedy that has taken place, we need to give our people their flowers while they're still here. And if I can, I just want to try to shift this over just a little bit. We can give praise for our pastor and first lady one more time. Amen. 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 Thank you for the prayers, the preaching, the teaching. Thank you for believing in us, these people that's here on earth. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I want to thank also the deacons that's here as well. Everybody, Deacon Taylor also, I see you. Amen, amen. My mother-in-law once again, who is here. Thank God for everybody. Sister Sharon also, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody, everybody that's here. I want to thank my grams also that's here. And I see nobody is sitting beside Grams, which is good because somebody may not like my sermon. She may get upset with you and sit too close beside my grandma. She may just lay hands on you. Amen. She loved her grandson. I love me some grams. Amen. Amen. And amen. Also, I want to thank my beautiful wife who is here. Don't she look beautiful with her blue hairstyle? People asking me, "Do I look good? Do I look good?" You can go bald and you still look good. Amen. 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 She looks gorgeous. Amen. If I excluded or did not include anybody, please forgive me. But I thank God for everybody that's here. Brother Babe, also, I want to thank God for you and your strength and how God is continuing to be a tremendous, tremendous asset to the body of Christ. We thank God for you and all the gifts that you display as well. And my friend who is not here, Reverend Atkins, I hope you're listening. I miss you. I love you. And so sorry that you couldn't be here. But you are here in spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to get on with the word. The scripture has been read. Let us pray now. And Father, we thank you, God, right now for who you are. We thank you, God, for blessing us in spite of ourselves. We thank you, God, for this branch of Zion that you have placed so perfectly in the right position. We thank you, God, for those that are here. We thank you for those that are online. We thank you, God, for those that are even praying as we are preaching. We thank you, God, for all that you are doing and all that you will do. We love you, Lord. We ask that you will bless us this day, Lord, and allow preaching to go forth in this house right now. We ask, God, that you will give us preaching power. And then, God, we ask that this word will resonate to the hearts and minds of these your people. And even, God, for those that are not a part of New Hope Fellowship, Lord, we ask, God, that you would allow them to be receptive and to receive your word. We thank you, God. We love you. We praise your holy and righteous name. You are worthy of all praise, not just some praise, not that just when we feel like praising you, not when things are going wrong in our life, but God, you are deserving of all praise. We thank you, God, right now for being good to us. We thank you, God, for providing a way out of no way. We thank you, God, for the food that you have allowed us to have. We thank you, God, for this weather. We thank you, God, for life. We thank you, God, for those that are not even here. We thank you, God, for your son, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We love you. And we ask that your presence will shine and be manifest in this place. It is in Jesus Christ's wonderful, marvelous, and matchless name that we pray. May the saints of God shout amen. Amen. Can we shout amen again? Amen. I don't want her to shout amen one more time. Amen. 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 I'm going to preach from the subject, look up. The text is coming from Acts chapter 7, verse number 55 and 56. But if you can, when you get home tonight, read Acts chapter 6 and 7, because I'm going to go through both of those chapters in about 15 to 20 minutes, if it's the Lord's will. One of the things that fascinates me about the Bible is how it has been written in chronological order from Genesis all the way to Revelation, so that we can see, appreciate, and understand the redemptive work of God. And yet, to understand and appreciate the Bible for what it's really worth, I would highly suggest that we all try to get some clarity, some cognition, some perception, some comprehension of what plots are. Because the Bible is composed of 80 to present narratives, and a plot is a sequence of events. And the understanding of those sequence of events will help you with this meaning and with this purpose. Because in our text today, we have a classic plot that is called a model myth plot. This is what I mean. Imagine a straight line. Within that straight line, you have the model myth plot. At the top of that line, you have what is called romance. And at the bottom of that line, you have what is called anti-romance. But between romance and anti-romance, you have what is called comedy on one side and tragedy on the other side. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. You can start at the top, but something tragically can happen along the way in life that will cause you to feel like your bottom has dropped out. And if you're not careful, if you're not mindful, you will become so depressed and so discouraged and so discarded by the drop or the fall that you will become so broken, so bent, so torn apart that you may die in depression. But if you live long enough, and if you can endure the fall, and if you are strong enough to endure the hurt, and if you can overcome the pain from being knocked down, and if you can withstand the agony of defeat while you're going through all that you're going through, if you can just look up, you will find that not only can there be circumstances that cause you to drop from the top to the bottom, but also that circumstances, those events that you have endured along the way, your hurt, your pain, your tears, your broken heart, the lies that they have told on you, the suffering, the stress that you went through, that fall can cause you to come from the bottom to finding your way right back to the top. And so today, my brothers and sisters, I want to look at a situation that to me expresses the model myth plot in a classic way. Here we have a saintly servant by the name of Stephen, who was selected along with others because there was a dispute within the church. The Greek Ion, the number one school district, received $2,226 less than what a white school district received. How is fairness equal to sameness when black men are roughly 5 times more likely to be in prison than their white counterparts, and nearly 13 times as likely in the age group of 18 to 19? How is fairness equal to sameness?
in church, in the kingdom of God, the issue of equality is not sameness, but it's a matter of fairness.
Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I remember when I was a kid, we had what was called Kool-Aid. And when we got Kool-Aid, me, my brother, and my sister, we were given a glass, and we were lining up the glass side by side because we didn't want to feel slighted. So we would measure up the glass to make sure that each of us would get the same amount of Kool-Aid. Here's my point. I don't ask God to give me the same that he has given someone else because my capacity is different from someone else. But also, we can become so envious, so spiteful, so jealous, so yellow-eyed of others, but yet we do not have the same capacity to contain or to receive what other people receive. That's why the Most High God has gifted us different. He gives us, according to what we can handle. I have come to realize that if I don't receive what others receive, wait, or he's saying, maybe I'm not yet ready for it right now. Respectfully, I want to drive this point. I get mad, I get upset when somebody says, I want your kind of anointing, I want your kind of patience, I want your kind of favor, I want to be able to pray like you, I want to be able to prepare sermons like you, and often I tell folks, if you want this kind of godly gift, it's going to cost you some pain and some suffering. It's going to cost you to lay prostrate in the presence of the Most High God constantly. It's going to make you leave some things that you claim you love. It's going to make you study his word daily, not because you want to, but because you have developed an intimate love for the Most High God. It's like what the prophet Jeremiah said. It's like fire shut up in my bone, and now it's just in me. It's not something that you could just remove away from me. It's the kind of love, it's the kind of passion, it's the kind of desire that's going to take you away from your friends and your family, because God is feeling and feeding you with something so special and so precious that no one is going to be able to understand the wonderful change that has taken place in your life. People are going to think that you're strange and that you're crazy and you don't know what in the world you're talking about, because you have developed a different aura, a different persona, a different peace, a different drive, and a different desire about you that they haven't seen in anyone else. This is the type of anointing that will break you down and empty you out and fill you up helplessly and realize the only thing that I can do is look up. And when you are laying there helpless from the fall, and then when you look up, I want to let somebody know in this house that he will fill you up. When you look up, he's right there. When you look up, he's got your back. When I look up, he's going to protect me. When I look up, I know that he's going to give you a new walk. When I look up, I know he's going to give you a new talk. When I look up, I know he's going to give you a new attitude. When I look up, I know he's going to give me a new hope. When someone says that they want this kind of joy, this kind of anointing that I have, I just tell them, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. That's why can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest framework, holding me on Jesus. Oh, Christ the Son and Rock that stand all on the ground. And sin is sin. And so in Acts chapter 6, Stephen was chosen as his election to assist the apostles so that they can have time to pray and to preach the word of God.
And they were also chosen by a specific requirement. They had to be men of honest rapport, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. It did not matter how well they counted money. It did not matter how well they were known within the community. It did not matter how tall and handsome they were. None of that mattered. What mattered was that they had to be filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And so when you look at the selection, there were seven chosen, God's number of perfection. And the Bible goes on to tell us that Stephen was not full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, but it says that he was full of faith and power. And he did not remain a servant who just watched and waited, but he became a powerful witness for the Lord in such a manner that miracles were performed. Healings and deliverance took place through this man, Stephen, who some would say was one of the original deacons. And so we're talking about a man with power. But how do you know that when you have power, there will always come the potential for persecution? Conjunction, which means contrast. But a change is about to happen. Anybody got a blood testimony in this house? Anybody been sick? But thank God from Zion. And you shouldn't be here, but they wrote you off, Brother Bane. But they lied on you. But Sister Sherry lied at you. But they teased you. But they said that you wouldn't amount to anything. But you should be here right now. But through the grace of God, Sister Sherry, I got a testimony. He being full of the Holy Ghost, thank God for Zion. He looked up, thank God for Zion. This is where Pastor, I want to lay my head right now. Touch somebody and say, look up. In spite of the rejection that you have experienced in life, look up, thank God for Zion. How many of us can talk about being rejected? How many of us can talk about being overlooked? How many of us can talk about being looked down upon? And I know some stories up in this house, no matter how much you have tried to reach some higher level in life, there will always be someone to try to bring you down. And I need to tell you that your witness is not always going to be welcome. I'm not talking about people out in the world. I'm talking about people in your family. I'm talking about people in the church. Even your friends, at times they will become angry and upset and envious at you. They will become bitter because of your witness. It's Stephen. It's only standing for God. And they're biting on him. I must admit, at this point in my life, I don't know what in the world I'd do if somebody was biting on me. What do you do when people are nagging on you, Brother Barry? What do you do when people are getting on your last reserve nerve? What do you do when people are trying to destroy and ruin your reputation? What do you do when people are trying to mess over your future? What do you do? Wow, Brother Bane, Stephen looked up. That may seem so simple, but it's so meaningful. That in the midst of him going through his crisis, that in the midst of him going through his love, his life was on the line, but instead of looking down, instead of him throwing in the towel, he looked up. There's somebody in this house today. I don't know what you're going through, but the direction that you're looking in is telling me that you're going through something. You're looking down. And it's hard to see stuff when you're looking down. I used to have motorcycles back in the day, and I discovered that while riding motorcycles, you have to look in the direction that you want to go. And if you want to turn to the right, if you want to turn to the left, you got to look toward the left. You got to look toward the right. And it helps to turn in the direction that you want to go. You have to look in the direction that you want to go. And I see now that Stephen looked up. Why is that? Because he wanted to go up. Yeah. You see, the reason why stuff is still bothering you is because you're looking at it rather than looking above it. Too often, we look at our situation and our situation looks bleak, or you're not going in the right direction that you want to be in, or it seems like you're not, things are not coming through for you in your life. But in the name of Yahushua, Jesus the Christ, I declare that if you look up, I heard someone say, Pastor Edno, that if you look to the hills from which cometh your help, because your help comes from the Lord. Tell somebody in this house to look up. Maybe the doctor has given you a bad diagnosis. That's no reason for you to look down. Your final appeal is not looking down, because when you get the diagnosis from the doctor, you can still appeal to the doctors of doctors. When you go to the lawyer, they say that we can. I know somebody that know up in this house that you can, because you can go to the lawyer who has never lost a case, and I guarantee you that he will say that I can. And so I want to suggest to you today that when you look up, you will see something. In the text, Stephen looked up and he saw the glory of God. In other words, it wasn't for me to get loose. And why? It don't take much for me to get loose even while I'm driving. But understand, I don't just get loose in church. I get loose out of church. Because I remember that I had to rob the piggy bank to get loose and change just to pay a few bills. I remember having to walk miles to get where I needed to go, because I didn't have a ride, I didn't have a car. I remember having to eat oodles of noodles every day because I couldn't afford to name the job. I remember burning candles because I couldn't afford to pay my light bill. I remember how I had to wear the same clothes over and over and over again because I couldn't afford to buy new clothes. But great God from God, the man of heaven, woo! I can go and get what I want to get. I can say, Lord, thank you, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, because you don't know what I went through in my life, and it was nothing but the grace of God that has brought me to. Thank you, Lord. Great God from God for all of the things that you have done for me in my life. I'm not acting like this with nothing. I'm not trying to entertain nobody. But Mama, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me in my life, I'm stunned. Great God from God gets happy and I can't help myself. Great God, sometimes I feel like running around up in here. Because you don't know what I've been through in my life. You don't know the struggle that I have been through. You don't know what I have been going through. But I thank God, Super Serena, it was nothing but the grace of God that put me and turned me around and placed my feet on solid. I feel alright. Sometimes you just gotta look up. I got a few more pages on me, but I just got to let loose. And I just let loose. I just thank God for who he is. And I thank God for all of the many blessings that he has bestowed upon my life. And I'm not taking God for granted at all. not ashamed to clap my hands. That's why I'm not ashamed to wave my hand. That's why I'm not ashamed to shout hallelujah. Because I know the struggle that I have been through in my life. Is anybody going through some struggle in your life? But it was nothing and nobody but the grace of God that has brought you through. Somebody in this house has been diagnosed with some things in your life. But it was nothing but God that moved diabetes. Nothing but God that removed cancer. Nothing but God that removed COVID from your life. And now you can come to church and give God praise for all the many things that he has promised and built and has given you. Somebody in this house has suffered with hard head and bad kids that didn't want to listen to you, that wanted to do whatever they wanted to do in their life. But you prayed, you didn't give up, you went on your knees and before God, and God changed and turned everything around. That's why we got to give God praise. That's why when we walk into the house of God, we have to look up and tell God, thank you. Thank you, God, for the oohs and doos. Thank you, God, for the filet mignon. Thank you, God, for the pinto. Thank you, God, for the Lincoln Continental. Thank you, God, for the big house on the hill. Thank you, God, for the little house. Thank you, God, for the apartment. Thank you, God, for the studio. God, thank you for all that you've done for me in my life. Thank you, God, for making a way out of nowhere. Thank you, God. And that's why, God, I'm not going to take advantage of when I come into this house. I'm going to look up. God, when I'm at home and I open up my kitchen cabinet, I'm going to thank you for the little food that you have blessed me with. Thank you, God, for the health that I have in my body. Thank you, God, for the blood that's running freely on the inside of me. We can't take this for granted. Look up. Look up. When you look up, you're going to see something. Don't put your head down all the time. Don't keep your head down. Because we serve God, who's able to provide you with any and everything. That's why we call him Sister Serena, Jehovah Jireh. Because he's our provider. What does that mean? He's going to provide us with all that we need. All we've got to do is see it then. When they were action on us, when they were pouring bricks at us, when they were ostracizing us, when they ridiculed us, what did he do? He fell on his knees and he looked up. Look up. Never in the text, Pastor, did Stephen give up. He looked up. While he was going through what he was going through, and what you went through is nowhere near what Stephen went through. But regardless of what you're going through, it's not bad that somebody stumbled you and biting you. Look up! God will. See, I'm done. God will provide for you. Look up. He's got everything that you need. All you got to do is look up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Look up. And then you will see something. You're going to see the splendor of the Most High God. People complain to me all the time, I don't have the right job. I don't have the job that I want to do. Thousands and thousands of people don't have a job. But we got to be thankful for what we have. It may not be much, but God blessed us with something. And we complain as far as we don't have anything. Because we think we deserve something else. But God has prepared us to get even more and to get better. If we just start with the route that he wants us to go in first, we got to stop being greedy. I don't have a job. I'm supposed to be doing something else. That's not where God wants you to be. Get what you support. Somebody's going to open up a door for you. Open that door. Pull it open. And accept what God has for you.
Because a lot of times we miss our blessings because we become disobedient. We reject the blessings that's right in front of us. That's why we got to look up. Stop turning your nose up. And look up. Am I not right, everybody? Amen. Amen. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. Hey, I'm done. Hey, I can to share a little word with you. I just wanted to share it with you. Look up. We as a people have no reason to look down. When we got the Jehovah Jireh, our provider on our side, with us, in us, through us, all we got to do is to look up and then ask God for whatever we need. He will provide. God provides. Isn't that a song? God provides. Amen. God.
Good word. Look up. Look to the hill of the end of my help. And then just the rope of Moses, you know, stick on the ground. The baby had died in the death. And the Moses, you'll call. Well, you know, we look at them all the time. Let's take some measure right here. This time, we hope to do with the capital situation. But there might be someone disappointed, you know. It doesn't have a relationship. So we invite you to just believe in your heart and confess what you are. That Jesus died for your sin. If you have a baptism, go ahead and call this old person and come up there. And as I always say, there are always many people who are not in the church and they didn't have past. It's a whole lot of reasons. And so we invite you right there, my brother. Thanks for the Christian experience, watching the membership. Symbolically, point to this screen. Give your hand to this preacher and give your heart and soul to all mankind. God has always